Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I work all day to get your money to buy a thing, and it's worth it just to hear you say you're gonna give me everything. So why on earth should I moan? 'Cause when I get you alone, you know I feel okay. When I'm home, everything seems to be right. When I'm home, feeling you holding me tight.
Pensacola, I'm Bobby Rossi. Wayne, just here sitting in for Andrew McKay this week. He'll be back next week. If you'd like to weigh in on the show, give us a call or text. Oh, I forgot to pull up the text line. I'm going to pull that up just in case. So give us a call or text. The number 850-437-1620. 850-437-1620. 41 degrees, so it's a little warmer than it was yesterday morning at this time. But good news is it will warm up to be in the upper 50s today instead of the lower 50s. It could be a cloudy day throughout the day today, though, but clear. And the other good news is it's just going to steadily start warming up from here. Tomorrow should be in the mid-60s. Then Friday should get to 70, and it'll just keep on warming up from there. Now, we're going to be getting warmer to, let's see here, 75. In fact, I meant to pull up the 10-day forecast because I want to see what the temperature will be like middle to end of next week. The reason is because of what's going on out west. California, Arizona, and a lot of the other western states are having record, they're having record heat wave going on right now. I saw one report that said 70 million people, I got this from AccuWeather, 70 million people across the Southwest and surrounding states are expected to experience an unusual heat surge. It's caused by a heat dome, a strong high-pressure system that traps warm air, blah, blah, blah. But check this out. Temperature in parts of California, Nevada, and Arizona could climb into the 90s and even past 100 degrees. Typical temperatures for summertime, not March. Yeah. So it's been this way in the past. Vegas, for example, they've had 100 degree days, or I'd say 90 degree days prior to May in the past, but just hasn't happened a lot. It's not a normal thing. In fact, they're believing that there's going to be a lot of temperatures broken, like heat records broken, because it hasn't been this high for dozens of years at this point. So meteorologists do say it's unusually early for this kind of heat, and several cities could challenge the longstanding March temperature records. So we'll have to see what happens with that. It's lining up to be a pretty brutal, brutal summer if it continues with this kind of, you know, temperature stand. So made me wonder, is that same kind of heat dome going to head to us? So I was taking a look at the temperature, the 10-day forecast. No, highest we get is probably going to be Monday and Tuesday of next week, where it'll be 78 degrees. So that's hot. It's hot, but that's not like unusual for us. That's not like record-breaking temperature type stuff, you know? So thought I can see, especially because of that the ordeal. So there is, the TSA is warning that smaller airports could shut down. Yeah, like we know we have a lot of delays, cancellations going on. A lot of the cancellations happened because of the blizzard and the overwhelm that happened with the TSA agents. But they're warning that we could actually see some smaller airports shut down. The question I have is, are they talking about like Pensacola size small airport? Or are they talking about like Gulf Shores small airport or Destin? You know, that'd be the question. Of course, thousands of TSA officers have been working without pay for weeks. Many are calling or calling out or quitting. There's been a few hundred apparently that have quit because of the funding lapse. 50,000 TSA officers have been working without pay for more than a month. The absentee rates have recently hit about 10% nationwide. 300 TSA officers have quit during the shutdown so far. So, of course, I've seen the video footage. There's super long TSA lines at some airports, some of the bigger airports. But, yeah, they're saying the smaller airports that may only have one security checkpoint, they don't have enough officers. Flights may not be able to operate. They may just have to start shutting down entire airports in order to deal with this crisis if it doesn't get back on track very soon. So that was kind of interesting. So flipping things over here to the state of Florida. Florida lawmakers wrapped up their legislative session, right? And transportation policy got a pretty big tune-up. Among the bills crossing the finish line, new rules for e-bikes. This is one of the bigger transportation measures. It created new regulations for e-bikes and similar type of transportation devices. Riders must slow down to 10 miles per hour when within about 50 feet of pedestrians and yield to pedestrians. I know whenever we talk about e-bikes, we always get people who are passionate about it one way or another. Usually pretty passionate on the anti, you know, because they've almost hit somebody who was on an e-bike who just darted out in front of them, or they've been hit by somebody on an e-bike while they were just walking down Palafox. You know, it's like these are definitely, it definitely gets people upset. So here's the thing. So this new safety rule that passed the legislative session, the question is, how many people are going to actually know about the new rule? That you got to slow down to 10 miles an hour when you're within 50 feet of pedestrians and you're supposed to yield to them. You would have thought that they would have realized already that you yield to pedestrians, but I guess not. Let's see here. Some other things. There's changes to traffic offender laws, a package dealing with everything from airports to motor vehicle regulations. There's the legislation dealing with future vertiports. That's what we talked about, the flying cars. Vertiports would be the, and I maybe I'm mispronouncing that, but that's the landing pads for flying taxis. So, the crash tracking requirement. Law enforcement agencies will be required to track and report crashes involving micromobility devices. So, like these e-bikes, basically. So, the state wants law enforcement to start collecting data for crashes pertaining to e-bikes so that they can understand safety risks and things like that. There's also a task force that has been approved to study e-bike safety and recommend future regulations and things like that. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of traffic-related bills in general. In fact, there's another one. Let's see, where was another one? A measure allows county tax collectors to help enforce regulations on commercial driving schools, including inspecting facilities to ensure compliance with state rules. Another bill strengthens penalties for drivers who repeatedly break the law. People classified as habitual traffic offenders could face third-degree felony charges if they continue driving illegally. Oh, so it's like people who have their driver's license suspended and they still drive. Get busted with driving without a driver's license. They get another ticket for it. They still drive. Things like that. So, yeah. All right. And then I had one more. One more traffic related bill I want to cover. Pensacola, we may be getting a little relief from those brand new red light cameras. Yeah. A judge in Broward County has ruled that part of Florida's red light camera law may actually be unconstitutional. So it doesn't do anything yet, but if it holds up, it could ripple across the entire state. The issue comes down to who has to prove who was driving when a camera catches a car running a red light. Right now, the ticket goes to the vehicle owner. They would have to prove, hey, I wasn't driving. The judge says says that flips the legal system on its head, which I totally agree with. If the court agrees, those automated tickets, including the ones here in Pensacola, could face serious legal trouble. Which, yeah, I haven't had it happen, but I've had a friend who that's exactly what happened. He lent somebody his car. He got a ticket for the red light camera, and he called and was like, I wasn't driving. That wasn't me. And they were like, well, you got to come in and prove it. And he was like, wait a minute. I thought I was innocent until proven guilty, not I'm guilty and I have to prove my innocence. And that was exactly his argument was, I thought I was innocent until proven guilty. How am I the one that has to prove that I was the driver? That's basically what the Broward County judge said as well. No, it violates due process. So I think it will get struck down. These red light cameras get struck down all over the country all the time because of that reason. It's Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call or text 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. Coming up here next, we're going to hear from Steve over in the news. Let's see here. I do want to talk about this war in Iran. There's a new poll out that it was interesting. I never thought about that, really, to be honest. So it's an interesting poll. We'll talk about that next right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Why'd I go to the doctor? Working on the farm, my heart kept skipping a beat. I didn't think much of it, but my daughters made me get checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
If you're 64 turning 65, or if you're retiring, or if you just have questions about Medicare, I know it's a complicated subject, and because you've done insurance one way for health your whole life and now you're going to do it a different way or kind of thinking about that future, it can make you apprehensive. You might have people that are calling you. You might have people that are sending you letters and trying to get a hold of you and stressing you out, and it's really not that hard. But until you have somebody who can walk you through it clearly, answer your questions, and make you feel comfortable, you know, it can produce anxiety. That's very understandable. That's where Ricky Stewart comes in. Her whole family does insurance. She just does this one part, and she's so good at it. I have known her as long as we've lived here. She's really wonderful, very sweet, very knowledgeable. All the people who listen to the show and then go to her, they all say the same thing. Man, she's awesome. You say she's great. You don't even say half of it, and that's true. So you got questions about Advantage and supplement and what is Medicaid and is it different from Medicare, and it is, but how? Well, okay. Ask her. She'll explain it. 341-2185. Or check her out online at MedicarePensacola.com and then just click schedule to book an appointment.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, join your friends at another gallery night in downtown Pensacola. This month's theme is Art in Motion. See GalleryNightPensacola.org. Springtime brings fresh and new things to discover at the downtown Palafox Market. It's all up and down Palafox beginning at 9 a.m. Enjoy fresh and locally grown produce, craft-made breads, and other food items. See VisitPensacola.com. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You need someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now you can meet them fast on ZipRecruiter.
Build your team, build it sooner. Need your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
This isn't shouting.
It's conversation.
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays at 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Text 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. It's 41 degrees here in the Pensacola area. It's going to be a high of about 58 today, and it'll start to steadily warm up. There, got a text here talking about red light cameras, and good point here. Red light cameras are no different from parking tickets. That's a good point. I've had the same. I actually have had that happen to me. Gotten a parking ticket when I wasn't even the one driving. Somebody else was driving my vehicle. That's a good point. I didn't think about that one. How does that work with parking tickets? I guess people aren't as upset by parking tickets because those are usually like $20 or something like that, whereas a red light ticket is $150, $160, something like that. So that's probably the difference on that one. Got a new poll. A new poll suggests that the American public isn't just debating with the war, debating the war with Iran. They're debating why it started in the first place. According to a recent survey, a majority of Americans believe that President Trump launched the conflict to distract from the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. Oh, the poll found about 52% of voters think the war was used as a distraction. 40% disagree, and the rest aren't really sure. The belief, of course, is stronger amongst Democrats and younger voters, but there's a pretty good chunk of Republicans that say that they suspect the political motives behind the military action. So, that was interesting. I didn't think about that, because to me, the Epstein thing doesn't go away still. But I guess for other people, they feel like it's a complete distraction. So, yeah. By the way, the percentage of Democrats, not to surprise you, percentage of Democrats who think that this was done as a distraction, 81%. Yeah. Speaking of the war in Iran, I think one of the bigger stories that came out pertaining to this yesterday would be that the top counterterrorism official, Joe Kent, resigned yesterday. He was the director of the U.S. National Counterterrorism Center, and he resigned as basically a protest with the war in Iran. And in his resignation letter, he said Iran posed no imminent threat to the United States, which of course contradicts this administration. He said he could not in good conscience support the ongoing war. He also suggested that foreign pressure and misinformation played a role in pushing the U.S. into the conflict. White House, of course, rejected his claim, saying intelligence indicated Iran was rapidly expanding its missile capabilities and moving towards nuclear weapons, posing a serious threat. You're starting to see a bit of a rift starting to grow more and more, even within MAGA, and when it comes to this whole thing, when it comes to the war in Iran. In fact, the Senate... This is mostly done by, led by Democrats, but there was a resolution introduced by Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia, the War Powers Resolution, which allows Congress to challenge a president's use of military force. The Senate vote failed, like I said, pretty much among party lines. It would have required the president to remove U.S. forces from hostilities with Iran unless Congress formally declared war or authorized the mission. Senator Rand Paul was one of the few Republicans who supported limiting the president's war power authority. John Fetterman was the only Democrat who voted against the resolution. So the vote came after the United States, of course, has been involved with this conflict after, or it's a, we call it a joint conflict with Israel. Let's go to Steve Taylor over in the newsroom for a quick news update. Steve, what you got going on the news?
Well, President Trump says we do not need any help to protect the Strait of Hormuz. In a meeting with the Prime Minister of the White House yesterday of Ireland, he says it's been a great test for NATO, and in his words, they didn't want to help us. He called it shocking, adding, we will not forget, and that's what's happening.
All right, thank you very much. By the way, Melania Trump making history. I'll share with you how, coming up right after the break.
News. I'm CJ Pop. The U.S. military pounding Iranian position near the key shipping lane in the Middle East.
Air Force dropping massive 5,000-pound bunker busters. These are GPS-guided. They're used against hardened or buried targets, some of those anti-ship missiles that Iran has that have been threatening commercial traffic through the Strait of Hormuz.
That's Fox's Steve Harrigan. Iran striking back after a pair of top officials were taken out Monday in airstrikes and earlier today.
A senior Israeli official telling Fox News that Ismail Khatib, the intelligence minister of Iran, was targeted in a precision strike overnight. Khatib was responsible for supporting Iran's global network of infiltrators, of sleeper cells, to threaten countries like the United States and others around the world.
Fox's Trey Yinks and Israel's defense minister just confirming Khatib was killed. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 right now, 37 degrees and clear. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. The head of the Escambia County Utilities Authority is stepping down. Executive Director Bruce Woody announced his retirement after 6 years leading the agency. His last day in the office is expected to be no earlier than May 26th, the date of the next ECUA board meeting, with his official retirement effective on or about July 6th. Woody told the board he's willing to help find his replacement. The search is already underway, with a job posted at a salary range of $195,000 to just over $256,000 a year. The application deadline is April the 15th. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons is weighing whether yesterday's road rage shooting qualifies for stand-your-ground protection. The incident began a few blocks from the intersection of Fairfield Drive and W Street about 2:45 p.m. yesterday, when two drivers, one in a silver Hyundai and a black Nissan pickup, became involved in an escalating confrontation.
The road rage incident took place several blocks, in fact, maybe even miles from here. And then it ultimately came to a stop right here.
Two shots were fired, striking one person who was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The suspected shooter was detained at the scene, but no arrests have been made.
Well, if it's reasonable to have thought that you or someone else was in fear for their life at the time the shots were fired, that's what we're looking at now. We have several witnesses, and again, we want to make sure we talk to everyone that had seen the incident before we make that final judgment.
Traffic in the area was disrupted with one lane closed, and deputies say the intersection is known for aggressive driving. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office continues the investigation. A Pensacola native is making the city proud on a national stage. Kayla Richardson, a music teacher at Life Shifting Learning Academy on Pensacola Boulevard, has made the top 20 on American Idol. The gospel singer was back home this week watching the latest episode with fans, friends, and family at Andy D's on Pensacola Bay. Andy D. Martin, who's the owner of Andy D's on Pensacola Bay, he told Channel 3,
"She is just a star amongst stars. And so to bring that kind of fame to Pensacola, which we've had a lot of famous people come from Pensacola before, it does us good."
Richardson says surviving a nerve-wracking cut in Hawaii's Ohana Week reignited her drive. The next episode is Monday, March 23rd at 7 with live fan voting that night. Let's check the forecast for Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have partly cloudy skies today with temperatures warming up near 59 degrees for the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 44 degrees. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 68. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 53. Heading into Friday, warming up with sunshine, high near 76 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, it is still chilly, 37 degrees in Pensacola, 38 in Gulf Breeze right now, and 32 in Milton at 534. Next news is 6, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkenes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Once upon a night, the Pensacola Little Theater becomes a living storybook. Welcome to Cabaret 2026 Storybook Soiree, where every room opens a new chapter filled with bands, DJs, aerialists, ballerinas, flash mobs, and unforgettable surprises. Wind your way through six open bars, culinary creations, craft cocktails, transforming the entire theater block. Cabaret 2026 Storybook Soiree, happening March 28th. Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Bobby Ross is filling in for Andrew. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call or text 850-437-1620. It's 41 degrees, going to be a high of about 58 today here in the Pensacola area. So before I get into some other stories, one more story I wanted to hit on. Melania Trump making history. The United Nations Security Council usually features presidents, prime ministers, and ambassadors. But this past week, First Lady Melania Trump ended up holding the gavel. She made history by chairing. She wasn't just there. She was chairing the UN Security Council meeting. She became the first spouse of a world leader ever to preside over the UN Security Council. The meeting focused on protecting children's education in conflict zones and the role technology plays in war-torn regions. It also became, obviously, a little bit of a tense moment because, of the military actions against Iran. But while the politics surrounding the war dominated the headlines, her message at the UN was centered on something different: peace through education. But still a historical thing where a spouse of a world leader chairing the thing. It's kind of a pretty interesting thing, pretty neat thing there. France making a surprise arsenal decision when it comes to their nuclear strategy. President Emmanuel Macron announced that the country will increase its nuclear arsenal for the first time since the early 1990s, and it's going to expand its nuclear role across Europe. Oh, boy. Macron says the goal is to strengthen Europe's ability to deter threats and what he calls an age of nuclear weapons. Okay, just things ramping up even further. There is, where did it go? Oh, let me cover some of the things that happened back in the day today. Back in 1818, Congress approved the very first pension for government service. Back in 1818. Before that, you were a civil servant. And after that, it started to develop lifelong politicians. In 1850, two guys named Henry Wells and William Fargo founded... Nope, not what you're thinking. They actually founded a company called American Express. Yeah, but it was a shipping company called American Express. Then, 2 years later, in 1852, Henry Wells and William Fargo organized a coast-to-coast express business and bank, and of course named it Wells Fargo. In 1881, the merger of Barnum and Bailey gave us the premiere of The Greatest Show on Earth and New York City's Madison Square Garden. In 1931, was in Nevada when Nevada legalized gambling, today in history. Also in 1931 was the day that Colonel Jacob Schick began selling the very first electric razor, back in 1931 today. Today in 1953 was when the Boston Braves announced that they were moving to Milwaukee. Yeah, and then later they moved to Atlanta. And then Pillsbury introduced the Poppin' Fresh, the beloved Pillsbury Doughboy, today in history, back in 1965. In 1995, today was the day that Michael Jordan announced that he was going back to basketball after his little stint in baseball, playing for Birmingham. And then 29 years ago today, 1997, was when Aerosmith released their 12th album, Nine Lives, which included Fallen in Love and Pink, a couple big classic hits right there. And then today in history, 2003, the war in Iraq began. So there you go. This is what happened today in history. It's Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rosti, filling in for Andrew. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call or text 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. Got some random facts here for you. Fiat, like the car Fiat, the little tiny car, it's actually an acronym. It stands for Fabbrica Italiana Automobili Torino. I'm sure I pronounced that exactly the way it was supposed to be done. It means Italian Automobile Factory of Turin. Well, that's boring. The very first vending machine ever was in Egypt in the first century. What did this vending machine produce? It dispensed holy water. In Arizona, it's illegal to feed garbage to pigs without a permit. There is an exception. If you're only feeding your own household pig, then you can feed it garbage. And then finally, the creator of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air named Carlton after a nerdy college friend of his named Carlton Cuse, who actually went on to be one of the guys behind the TV show Lost. So there's some little weird random facts there for you. It's Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for Andrew. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call or text 850-437-1620. Switching topics here a little bit. College sports are changing fast. The Florida lawmakers are trying to keep up. A state task force is studying the future of college athletics and getting ready to meet. Lawmakers grapple with issues like what we've talked about earlier this week, NIL deals, athlete pay, and the transfer portal. The group was created by the Florida legislature to figure out how the state's major programs like Florida, Florida State, and University of Miami can stay competitive in the new era of college sports. The task force is expected to look at everything from money flowing to athletes to whether a new state laws are actually needed in order to make sure that Florida schools keep from falling behind other states. So college sports have been big business in the past. They've been big business for a long time. I mean, the college bowl scene, the March Madness, these are major revenue sources. Things have changed dramatically, though, when they started giving athletes freedom to move around schools. When they stopped treating athletes like you're just a student who happens to play sports. When they stopped taking that approach, then like I was talking to somebody the other day. They go, after we talked about the NIL deals on the air, he was like, yeah, it's like the Wild Wild West right now. It's like things have just gone chaotic where everybody's trying to come up with their own rules and trying to navigate how to get through this. And a good example of this is Indiana University, who we mentioned the other day. $25 million donation from Mark Cuban to the university. Well, now look at Indiana University, a powerhouse in college football, winning the national championship. Well, that happened kind of like sneakily. I mean, this is the Big Ten, right? You've got Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. You got powerhouses in the Big Ten. And Indiana's never been a powerhouse in the Big Ten, at least not in football. In basketball during the Bobby Knight years, yeah, but not in football. And all of a sudden, it's like out of nowhere, they just popped up on the scene. And now they're not going anywhere. And that happened because they figured out how to navigate this new world of money and athletes faster than anybody else did. And so it caught Michigan and Penn State and a lot of these other places off guard. And so Florida wants to make sure that doesn't happen to us in for the long term, you know? So we got this task force that we've already approved, and they're going to be meeting here this week to go over those types of things. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with all that. Speaking of kind of sports, it's kind of related a little bit here. There's been proposals going on for a few years now as it pertains to the Pensacola Bay Center. Something needs to be happening. I mean, before the SBC tournament signed the deal to come here to Pensacola, we were sitting there talking about should they tear it down and just build a big parking lot. I remember that discussion. They were talking about should tear it down, build a massive parking lot, tear it down, turn it into a field house. Remember all that conversation was going on like 4 or 5 years ago? Maybe a little bit longer, but somewhere right around there. And then when they got the SBC tournament, it was like, okay, well, now we've got a steady, you know, tournament that's coming instead of just random concerts every now and then or conventions. But there still continued to be conversation. Okay, now we're going to keep it this way. We're going to keep it as the base center. We're not going to tear it down and turn it into a field house. It still has to be upgraded. It still needs to be expanded and renovated. So it opened in 1985. And so it's a little bit outdated, being 40 years old. Well, apparently there's a proposed redevelopment plan that would renovate the existing arena, but also build a new event center, and it would add a practice ice rink. This full project would cost about $189 million. Arena renovations alone are estimated around $71 million, including upgrading seating, concourses, concessions, and club areas. The plan also includes the 105,000 square foot multipurpose event center designed for conventions, trade shows, sports events, and other tournaments. I think this is needed. I think we need something like that for our area. Pensacola is growing, our population is growing, and we're becoming a bit of a hub for people to come to for conventions, sports tournaments, things like that. And we'll only get more of that if we have better facilities. But the county leaders say that the county may have to borrow roughly $80 to $90 million through tourism development tax bonds, and additional funding would likely be needed when it costs $189 million to try to do these upgrades. So City of Pensacola, Escambia County, possibly private investors may need be needed to try to do this. So, of course, if the full project can't be funded, they really need to focus on renovating first. I mean, it'd be nice to have the extra event center. It'd be nice to have the practice ice rink. But the main thing is the main facility that needs to be renovated. So the $71 million is, to me, the main target. The rest is all bonus after that. All right, it is Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call or text 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. Did you see what happened over Cleveland, Ohio yesterday? We'll talk about that next on News Radio 92.3.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
So if your child is having trouble with math, or maybe not even having trouble, but just you know they could do better. They know they could do better. Maybe there was a teacher that just didn't quite teach it the way they understood, or, you know, maybe they did all right, but they feel like, you know, obviously thriving is the ideal. Mathnasium is the place. I'm big fan of Mathnasium. Our two dear friends own it. My son taught there for a year. The basic idea is every child is a little different. Every child gains or doesn't gain the certain skills that they need at certain times. Maybe the way they're learning math in school doesn't fit their learning style, isn't the way you learn it, so you can't make up the gap. Whatever the case may be, every child can be good at math, can find math fun and enjoyable. We just need to identify which pieces are missing and then teach to that in a very carefully tailored, you know, kind of small setting that's meant to be for that child's benefit. The way it starts is you just go in for a free assessment. You stop by Mathnasium, they take a real quick test, and they find out what is it that the kid knows, doesn't know how well, and so forth, and then figure out a plan to solve it. That's it. So simple. Mathnasium, located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
One of my favorite moments is when a business owner sees our ADX Digital Toolbox and they sit back in their chair and they have this look of surprise on their face and they say, I had no idea you guys did all of this. We have 19 ways to deliver your message to your specific audience inside your geographic footprint with reporting that proves its effectiveness, all for less than you might expect.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Andrew McKay, I'm Bobby Rossi. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call or text 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. We're talking about Fiat, the small little cars. It's actually an acronym that basically stands for something in Italian. What was it? It was like an Italian. Why don't I just pull it up instead of just trying to remember off the top of my head? The acronym stands for Fabbrica Italiana Automobili Torino, which stands for Italian Automobile Factory in Turin. Very boring. Got a text here that says, my granddad used to say it stood for, fix it again, Tony. I always love those kind of acronyms. There's what's the one for like Chevy? There's one. I know the Ford was found on road dead. That was always funny to me.
Fix or repair daily.
Yes. Yep. And then there's one for Chevy too, and or GMC. I think those acronym things are funny when they do them for the cars like that. Did you see what happened over Cleveland, Ohio? There was a mysterious boom in the Midwest this week. And no, it wasn't an explosion or a military test. It was a meteor crashing through the Earth's atmosphere about 45,000 miles per hour. It was 6 feet wide, weighing around 6 to 7 tons. And it streaked over the sky of northern Ohio before it broke apart over Cleveland, Ohio. So the blast created a sonic boom loud enough to rattle homes and was heard as far away as Pennsylvania and even New York. Oh, scientists said most of the meteor burned up in the atmosphere, but small fragments may have landed somewhere in Ohio. So if you see a small little black rock in your backyard up in Cleveland area, then that would be what it is. My sister lives up there. I'm going to have to call her and see if she can go find some space rock for me. But yeah, happened yesterday around 9 a.m. Eastern time, so 8 a.m. our time. But yeah, kind of crazy right there. Jeez Louise. What's this? Ford. First on race day. Okay, that goes the opposite. So I've got the found on road day. What was your Ford acronym, John?
Fix or repair daily.
Fix or repair daily. Yeah, that's right. But we got another one here going the opposite direction. First on road on race day. All right. I like it. Yeah, they need to have the going because not all vehicles are breakdown ones, but that is kind of, to me, it's funny when they do it like that. So it's like, yeah, let's check that out. All right. Florida officials are backing a new federal bill aimed at a problem many anglers say is getting worse. This bill cracks me up. I don't know why. It just makes me laugh. This bill is to deal with sharks stealing fish right off the line. Yeah. This is known as shark depredation. Happens when a shark eats a fish that a fisherman has already hooked before it can be reeled in. Like, yeah, this probably happens a lot, right? So what exactly is Florida going to do or any, huh? The bill is called Shark Act. Stands for Supporting the Health of Aquatic Systems through Research, Knowledge, and Enhanced Dialogue. Oh, geez. So many acronyms. Florida Attorney General and U.S. Senate candidate Ashley Moody is supporting the legislation. The proposal would create a federal task force of scientists and fishery experts. The goal is to study why shark depredation is increasing. Is it really increasing? That seems weird to me. Maybe it's because sharks have gotten smart and figured out where fishermen fish, and they're like, shoot, man, they go catch our prey for us, and the prey can't get away, and we just go eat it. It's awesome. Hey, Tony, you hear this thing that they're doing down here in the Gulf? Yeah, they go fishing, and they catch some of our prey, and then the prey can't get away, and we just go eat it. He's like, wait, we don't have to chase them? No, we don't have to chase them no more. He's like, well, let's go down there to the Gulf then. I don't know why all of a sudden the sharks became New Yorkers, but that's the way it is. This is what happened. About 77% of saltwater anglers in North America say they've experienced sharks stealing their catch. Not a surprise. 77%, I'm surprised it's not higher than that. Florida alone, 43% of fishermen reported losing fish to predators. I think it's, we're going to create a task force to figure out why the sharks are doing this. And then what? You're going to figure out a way to get them to not do it? No, shark, no. Shark's like, going to, hey, Tony, you know how I was talking about that good fishing ground down there where they'll catch the fish and the fish can't get away from us? He's like, yeah. Man, they came out with some new device now. I go over there and try to get the fish, and now it makes me blind and I can't see the fish. I don't know. Like, what are they going to do? They're going to blind the sharks? I went over there, I was smelling the shark, and all of a sudden I was like, you know what? That looks like a fish. It's swimming like a fish, but it smells like diarrhea, so I ain't touching it. I don't know. What's the plan? It's Not an action item. It's called Circles in Blue. Yes. That's called Online News. Andrew McKay.
Local news every hour and breaking.